Welcome to day 253 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are continuing in the book of Ezekiel. Yesterday we began by hearing about a very powerful vision and experience that Ezekiel the prophet had after he had been a captive in Babylon for 25 years. This was the second time that the Lord had taken him, so to speak, in a spiritual vision and brought him back to Israel. Now, he was living in Babylon, but the Lord took him in the spirit back to Jerusalem and showed him this magnificent vision of a new temple that was built that was actually much larger than the original temple that had been built by Solomon. So as we begin today in chapter 43, the same vision that Ezekiel's having is continued. And so it begins with a vision of the glory of God filling this newly built temple in Israel. So beginning at Ezekiel chapter 43 and starting at the first verse. Then he led me to the gate facing toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the way of the east. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And the earth shone with his glory. And it was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when he came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Kevar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate facing toward the east. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Then I heard one speaking to me from the house while a man was standing beside me. He said to me, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell among the sons of Israel forever. And the house of Israel will not again defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings, by their harlotry and by the corpses of their kings when they die, by setting their threshold by my threshold and their doorpost between my doorpost, with only the wall between me and them. And they have defiled my holy name by their abominations which they have committed. So I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their harlotry and the corpses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell among them forever. As for you, son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the plan. If they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the house, its structure, its exits, its entrances, all its designs, all its statutes, and all its laws, and write it in their sight, so that they may observe its whole design and all its statutes and do them. This is the law of the house. Its entire area on the top of the mountain all around shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. And these are the measurements of the altar by cubits, the cubit being a cubit and a handbreadth. The base shall be a cubit and the width a cubit, and its border on its edge round about one span. And this shall be the height of the base of the altar. From the base on the ground to the lower ledge shall be two cubits, and the width one cubit. And from the smaller ledge to the larger ledge shall be four cubits, and the width one cubit. The altar hearth shall be four cubits, and from the altar hearth shall extend upwards four horns. Now the altar hearth shall be 12 cubits long by 12 wide, square in its four sides. The lead shall be 14 cubits long by 14 wide in its four sides. The border around it shall be half a cubit, and its base shall be a cubit round about, and its steps shall face the east. And he said to me, Son of man, thus says the Lord God, these are the statutes for the altar on the day it is built, to offer burnt offerings on it and to sprinkle blood on it. You shall give to the Levitical priests who are from the offspring of Zadok, who draw near to me to minister to me, declares the Lord God, a young bull for a sin offering. You shall take some of its blood and put it on its four horns and on the four corners of the ledge and on the border round about. Thus you shall cleanse it and make atonement for it. You shall also take the bull for the sin offering, and it shall be burned in the appointed place of the house outside the sanctuary. On the second day, you shall offer a male goat without blemish for a sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they cleansed it with the bull. When you have finished cleansing it, you shall present a young bull without blemish and a ram without blemish from the flock. You shall present them before the Lord, and the priest shall throw salt on them, and they shall offer them up as a burnt offering to the Lord. For 7 days you shall prepare daily a goat for a sin offering, also a young bull and a ram from the flock without blemish shall be prepared. For 7 days they shall make atonement for the altar and purify it. So shall they consecrate it. When they have completed the days, it shall be that on the 8th day and onward, the priest shall offer your burnt offerings on the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, declares the Lord God. Chapter 44. Then he brought me back by the way of the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces the east, and it was shut. The Lord said to me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no one shall enter by it. For the Lord God of Israel has entered by it. Therefore it shall be shut. As for the prince, he shall sit in it as prince to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by way of the porch of the gate, and shall go out by the same way. Then he brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the house, and I looked. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. The Lord said to me, Son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the statutes of the house of the Lord and concerning all its laws. And mark well the entrance of the house with all its exits of the sanctuary. You shall say to the rebellious ones, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, enough of all your abominations, O house of Israel, when you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary to profane it, even my house, when you offered my food, the fat and the blood, for they made my covenant void. This in addition to all your abominations. And you have not kept charge of my holy things yourselves, but you have set foreigners to keep charge of my sanctuary. Thus says the Lord God, no foreigner, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, of all the foreigners who are among the sons of Israel, shall enter my sanctuary. But the Levites, who went far from me when Israel went astray, who went astray from me after their idols, shall bear the punishment for their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having oversight at the gates of the house and ministering in the house. They shall slaughter the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them. Because they ministered to them before their idols and became a stumbling block of iniquity to the house of Israel, therefore I have sworn against them, declares the Lord, that they shall bear the punishment for their iniquity. And they shall not come near to me to serve as a priest to me, nor come near to any of my most holy things, to the things that are most holy, but they will bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Yet I will appoint them to keep charge of the house, of all its service and of all that shall be done in it. But the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the sons of Israel went astray from me, shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer me the fat and the blood, declares the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, they shall come near to my table to minister to me and keep my charge. It shall be that when they enter at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and wool shall not be on them while they are ministering in the gates of the inner court and in the house. Linen turbans shall be on their heads, and linen undergarments shall be on their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything which makes them sweat. When they go out into the outer court to the people, they shall put off their garments in which they have been ministering and lay them in the holy chambers. Then they shall put on other garments so that they will not transmit holiness to the people with their garments. Also, they shall not let their locks grow long. They shall only trim the hair of their heads. Nor shall any of the priests drink wine when they enter the inner court. And they shall not marry a widow or a divorced woman, but shall take virgins from the offspring of the house of Israel, or a widow who is the widow of a priest. Moreover, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In a dispute, they shall take their stand to judge. They shall judge it according to my ordinances. They shall also keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed feasts and sanctify my Sabbaths. They shall not go to a dead person to defile themselves. However, for father, for mother, for son or daughter, for brother or for a sister who has not had a husband, they may defile themselves. After he is cleansed, 7 days shall elapse for him. On the day that he goes into the sanctuary, into the inner court to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, declares the Lord God. And it shall be, with regard to an inheritance for them, that I am their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the grain offering, the sin offering, and the guilt offering. And every devoted thing in Israel shall be theirs. The first of all the first fruits of every kind, and every contribution of every kind from all your contributions shall be for the priests. You shall also give to the priest the first of your dough to cause a blessing to rest on your house. The priest shall not eat any bird or beast that has died a natural death or has been torn to pieces. Chapter 45. And when you divide by lot the land for inheritance, you shall offer an allotment to the Lord, a holy portion of the land. The length shall be the length of 25,000 cubits, and the width shall be 20,000. It shall be holy within all its boundary round about. Out of this there shall be, for the holy place, a square, round about, 500 by 500 cubits, and 50 cubits for its open space round about. From this area you shall measure a length of 25,000 cubits, and a width of 10,000 cubits, and in it shall be the sanctuary, the most holy place. It shall be the holy portion of the land. It shall be for the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary, who come near to minister to the Lord. And it shall be a place for their houses, and a holy place for the sanctuary. An area, 25,000 cubits in length and 10,000 in width, shall be for the Levites, the ministers of the house, and for their possession, cities to dwell in. You shall give the city possession of an area 5,000 cubits wide and 25,000 cubits long, alongside the allotment of the holy portion. It shall be for the whole house of Israel. The prince shall have land on either side of the holy allotment, and the property of the city adjacent to the holy allotment, and the property of the city on the west side toward the west, and on the east side toward the east, and in length comparable to one of the portions from the west border to the east border. This shall be his land for a possession in Israel. So my princes shall no longer oppress my people, but they shall give the rest of the land to the house of Israel according to their tribes. Thus says the Lord God, enough, you princes of Israel, put away violence and destruction and practice justice and righteousness. Stop your expropriations from my people, declares the Lord God. You shall have just balances, a just ephah and a just bath. The ephah and the bath shall be the same quantity, so that the bath will contain a tenth of a homer and the ephah a tenth of a homer. Their standard shall be according to the homer. The shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 20 shekels, 25 shekels, and 15 shekels shall be your manah. This is the offering that you shall offer, a sixth of an ephah from a homer of wheat, a sixth of an ephah from a homer of barley, and the prescribed portion of oil, namely the bath of oil. A tenth of a bath from each core, which is 10 baths or a homer, for 10 baths are a homer. And one sheep from each flock of 200 from the watering places of Israel, for a grain offering, for a burnt offering, and for peace offerings, to make atonement for them, declares the Lord God. All the people of the land shall give to this offering for the prince in Israel. It shall be the prince's part to provide the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the drink offerings at the feasts, on the new moons and on the Sabbaths, at all the appointed feasts of the house of Israel. He shall provide the sin offering, the grain offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings to make atonement for the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, in the first month, on the first of the month, you shall take a young bull without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. The priest shall take some of the blood from the sin offering and put it on the doorposts of the house, on the four corners of the ledge of the altar, and on the posts of the gate of the inner court. Thus you shall do on the seventh day of the month for everyone who goes astray or is naive. So you shall make atonement for the house. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. On that day, the prince shall provide for himself and all the people of the land a bull for a sin offering. During the 7 days of the feast, he shall provide as a burnt offering to the Lord 7 bulls and 7 rams without blemish on every day of the 7 days, and a male goat daily for a sin offering. He shall provide as a grain offering an ephah with a bull, an ephah with a ram, and a hin of oil with an ephah. In the 7th month, on the 15th day of the month, at the feast, he shall provide like this, 7 days for the sin offering, the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the oil. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's devotional, I want to bring your attention to something really quite profound about the return of the Lord that is mentioned in Ezekiel's prophetic declaration and prophetic vision that the Lord gave him. We'll start out by taking a look at chapter 43, where we began. And that chapter opens with Ezekiel saying how the Lord was leading him. This angel, actually, that God had sent was leading him. And it says, "Then he led me to the gate." This is the angel leading him. "The gate facing toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the way of the east. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And the earth shone with his glory." Now, that expression about the voice of God, or the voice of Jesus, the Messiah, having a sound of many waters, we see that same exact description given by John, who received the revelation on the Isle of Patmos and wrote the book of Revelation from what God showed him. And in the very first chapter, he says these words, "I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, 'Write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches.'" And it goes on from there. But then it says in verse 12, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man." And then he gives a description of this one like the son of man, which is undoubtedly Jesus the Messiah. And it goes on to say, "His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword." So we know that this man, one like a son of man, described by John in the book of Revelation, was none other than Jesus Christ himself, that the Lord was giving him a revelation of what was going to happen in the last days. So we see this description of Jesus by John, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. Then we go back to Ezekiel, and we see that Ezekiel the prophet, centuries before John ever was on the Isle of Patmos receiving the revelation that he got, this revelation given to Ezekiel was also given to him, and he describes the same experience by saying his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. So we know that we're talking about the same person, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And here in the book of Ezekiel, we are seeing a vision of the future of the end times when the Lord God of Israel sends the Messiah back to the earth. And at that point, the people of Israel begin to respond to the one true God and recognize Jesus as Messiah. These are things that will happen during the millennial reign of Christ, which is what this book of Ezekiel passage in 43 and onward is talking about, according to Bible scholars. So here we have this word that Ezekiel hears, the voice of God, the sound of many waters, the earth is being filled with the glory of God. But the most interesting thing I want you to pay attention to, and I'm going to give you some amazing background for this, is actually the very first verse of chapter 43. "Then he led me to the gate facing toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the way of the east." And then in verse 4, it says, "The glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate facing toward the east." Now, this may not sound especially relevant or important, but it has tremendous meaning. Let me give you the background. The walls and the gates around the old city of Jerusalem have been torn down, burned, built back up again multiple times, as we know. But something very significant happened in the 1500s when the Turks conquered Jerusalem under the leadership of a man named Suleiman the Magnificent. It was the year 1517. And when he conquered Jerusalem, he actually commanded that the city's ancient walls be rebuilt. And ancient Jerusalem's walls had 8 gates. The gates were the New Gate, the Damascus Gate, Herod's Gate, the Lion's Gate, the Golden Gate, which was the Eastern Gate, which is referenced here in Ezekiel, and we'll get back to that, the Dung Gate, the Zion Gate, and the Jaffa Gate. So there were these 8 gates that came into the city of Jerusalem. The Eastern Gate, also known as the Golden Gate, was the one gate that was the closest to the Temple Mount, and from that gate you could go directly into the temple area. So that is very significant. So we just heard in Ezekiel 43 that God was giving Ezekiel a vision of God's glory entering that millennial temple, because remember, the vision he's seeing is of a rebuilt temple during the millennium, and it is through the Eastern Gate that God's glory comes through. Now, the reason that that is significant is because of this piece of history. Right in the middle of the great rebuilding project that Suleiman the Magnificent, this Turkish military leader, had started rebuilding all the ancient wall around Jerusalem and then repairing the gates, suddenly, for some unknown reason, he ordered that the Eastern Gate, the one also called the Golden Gate, be completely sealed up with stones. Now, this is significant because of what we read in the 44th chapter. When you heard the 44th chapter opening, this is what it said. Ezekiel is speaking, and he's saying what God tells him. This is verse 1 of Ezekiel 44. Then he brought me back by the way of the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces the east, and it was shut. He's talking about that eastern gate. The Lord said to me, "This gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no one shall enter by it. For the Lord God of Israel has entered by it. Therefore it shall be shut." So God gives Ezekiel this prophetic word that the eastern gate around in the wall around Jerusalem will be shut, and no one is going to be able to go through that gate except the Messiah himself when he enters that gate, because Ezekiel also saw that being the time when the Lord returns and fills the temple with his glory, fills Jerusalem with his glory, fills Israel with his glory. Suleiman the Magnificent, that Turkish ruler or military leader, ended up being the vessel that God used to partially fulfill the prophecy that we find in the book of Ezekiel. He sealed up that eastern gate. Now, that eastern gate, you can go on the internet, Google that eastern gate of the city of Jerusalem, of old Jerusalem, and you will see pictures of it. And you can see the wall, and you can see the archways for the eastern gate, but it's completely bricked up, so no one goes in or out from there. And there is actually a question as to why the leader, Suleiman the Magnificent, this Turkish military invader, closed the gate. There's lots of reasons that are thrown around or legends that abound about that. But probably the one that's most accurate is this, that while the walls were being rebuilt, A rumor was sweeping through Jerusalem that the Messiah was coming and going to rescue the Jewish people. So Suleiman the Magnificent called together some of the rabbis and asked them to tell him about the Messiah and when he was returning and all of that. Sounds a little bit like Herod when he wanted to know about the Messiah and where he was going to be born, actually acting as if he was interested religiously, but he had another motive. Well, Suleiman asked about him as well, and those Jewish rabbis told him or described to him the Messiah as a great leader who would be sent by God from the east, and that he would enter through the eastern gate and liberate the city from foreign control. That's an interesting answer. And rumor or legend has it that Suleiman the Magnificent decided to squash all hope in that Messiah by, not unlike Herod, trying to do the same back in the time of Jesus' birth, trying to squash the rumor that Messiah was coming and had been born because of that star appearing. In this case, Suleiman ordered that the eastern gate be sealed. That way, there is no way that the Messiah could come through the eastern gate if it was blocked, according to him, not understanding it was God himself, thinking it was a human being coming. And the second thing he did to make sure in his own mind that the Messiah, whoever that was, because he certainly didn't have any revelation about him, to make sure that the Messiah would not go through that eastern gate and this would cause the people to become hopeless. He, of course, that was what he was thinking. He actually had a Muslim cemetery placed directly in front of the eastern gate. So if you look up the eastern gate of Jerusalem on the internet and find a picture of it, you will see graves, Muslim graves, still there today. I've been to Jerusalem and they are still there. And the reason they did that is because Suleiman the Magnificent believed that no Jewish holy man would ever defile himself by walking through a Muslim cemetery. So that is still present. The gate is still sealed. That cemetery is still blocking the entrance. And it is the only gate of the eight gates that is sealed. This to me shows how amazing the Word of God is, how amazing the Bible is, how this is a historic proof of the Bible's prophetic power. We know from the scripture that the only time that that gate will be opened will be when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is ready to return, and he will come through that eastern gate according to this prophetic word in the book of Ezekiel. How powerful is that? But yet at the same time, the Lord showed Ezekiel, okay, this gate will be shut and won't be opened because that's where the Lord God of Israel enters, right there, when the Messiah returns. And it's interesting that during the six-day war in Israel, and if you don't know that history, it's quite fascinating and you could look that up as well. But during that six-day war, when the Israelis were fighting with Syria, Jordan, and Egypt, there was a Jewish commando group that plotted to surprise the Jordanian troops that were guarding the city by blowing up and blowing open, essentially, the sealed eastern gate. But there was an Orthodox Jew who was a leader of that commando group and protested the whole thing, saying that the eastern gate can only be open when the Messiah comes. So that was Jewish tradition, that was the day that gate would be open and they were not to touch that. And that was reported in the newspapers just at the end of that six-day war when the Israelis miraculously defeated the troops from Egypt, Syria, and Jordan in this remarkably short war that gave them control of the city of Jerusalem for the first time in over 1,800 years. So it's quite amazing story. But it has been Jewish tradition held due to these prophecies in the book of Ezekiel that only when the Messiah comes will that eastern gate be opened again, that the Messiah might come through there. So this is really important to understand the meaning of these words in Ezekiel. And it gives us hope and encouragement that we're closing in on the end times, and the day when the Lord will return is not that far off. We're certainly closer than it's ever been. And that is a beautiful and encouraging thought that we can anticipate with joy and expectation the return of Christ to the earth. And obviously it will be in God's perfect timing, but it's closer than it's ever been. When we get to the book of Revelation, we will hear about the return of Christ in Revelation 19, because we have this imagery of the Lord returning as a military conqueror riding on a supernatural white horse. And that is something that we will see. And when he touches down on the Mount of Olives, as the book of Zechariah tells us, it will be an amazing day. And I believe that just like the prophets have spoken, the Lord will triumphantly enter into the city of Jerusalem through that eastern gate on his white horse. And it'll be, whether it just blows open supernaturally or whatever happens, it will be a day of victory with Hosanna and hallelujahs being shouted with great, great joy. And I want to end with just a little bit of scripture from Psalm 24, because I do believe it relates to this eastern gate and return of the Lord, and it's so beautiful, and it just is a word of encouragement for us as well, that Christ is going to return and it will be a time of great joy. And Psalm 24, it says, "Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.